This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, and welcome to Paranormal Pets, January 2026. So this is a potpourri episode in which I'm catching up with correspondences and events from last year into the new year. Basically, we're going to talk about some shadow animals. We got a beautiful little email about a shadow animal experience. And then I am going to tell you about some of my research on Buttercup, the tombstone that I have. And then I will tell you a little bit more about an event that happened here at my own home. So hang tight. We'll be right back after these messages.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello again. Oh my goodness, we're a little bit behind. It's been a crazy, crazy time, but just as a brief recap for you guys, 2025, not my year. I had my broken leg, Ajax, had sudden disc degeneration at 4.5, and so emergency specialist surgery cost me as much as a decent used car, and I am still paying off the care credit. I can't even right now still process. I do not regret the surgery. Thank God he recovered about probably 85 to 90% of his mobility. He still has kind of this funny little walk, but he can actually control his bowels and bladder. He can move around freely. I've even seen him starting to gather up as if he wants to jump up. He is starting to kind of do that, build up some strength in those back legs again. He is not allowed to jump, just so you know. But that's still, you know, encouraging. It's good. That was a lot of money. And, you know, sure, I'm pulling from retirement to pay this off. I guess I can work a few more years. What is that, right? So there was that. There was an episode where my mother inadvertently let some of the pugs out of the backyard, and it took me 2 days to find Penthusilla again. I found 3 of 4 missing pugs pretty quickly. Well, I'm hoping to make this its own episode. One of the spirit sensitives actually did a session with me, and it turned out to be very accurate. I can't even, and I was very lucky to get her back. This was in July. And if this had to happen, it was actually during a cold front in July. So the high was like 84, 85. But pugs are not street smart. And so I really didn't think I was ever going to get her back. Nobody scanned her chip, nothing. I know everybody's like air tags, but it was kind of a fluke occurrence, unfortunately. And ironically, last year, it dovetailed on itself. Part of the reason why they got out is that I had to have some work done on my gate in my backyard. I ended up having it kind of converted from chain link to a semi-privacy gate, because a renter catty-cornered from me complained about the pugs barking. And so my hope was that if they didn't see her coming and going, which unfortunately it didn't fully work, but nonetheless, you know, so building up the gate so that they couldn't look through the chainmail, so they, you know, would hopefully reduce their barking a bit. But the person who actually fixed the gate was a handyman. And ironically, when he was here trying to work on the gate, it was the same time that I had taken my brand new used hearse to the mechanic and was taking a scooter home and fell off the scooter and landed on my right side and broke my left leg with a compression fracture of the tibial plane, which was the most painful experience of my life. And so I called the handyman for help because mom doesn't drive. And unfortunately, this summer, she was also diagnosed with some mild dementia or early dementia on top of everything else we're dealing with. And, you know, I didn't know anybody else close enough. And so he came to get me and he took me to the ER, dropped me off. But I think he was pretty freaked out. He was a very nice man. But I think that, and I can understand, I would be a little freaked out too. I literally could not even stand up. I could not lock my knee. And it was so incredibly painful. And I didn't want to call an ambulance because, folks, I am self-employed, which means, you know, I pay for my own insurance, but I don't think I can afford an ambulance. EMS. And in fact, the emergency room that I went to was a Guidewell clinic because that's where my insurance said to go because it was cheaper. So there was all that. And the irony is that this woman came and yelled at me about the pugs barking while they were barking at her because they saw her through the gate. And I was like, lady, you've lived here 2 months. I have lived in this neighborhood since 1992. And I have an ongoing discussion with my neighbors that if the pugs ever annoy them, they just need to tell me so that I can try to modify things and make this better. This doesn't involve a brand new renter screaming at me over my gate while the pugs are present.
Yeah.
And apparently her landlord said that I didn't care. And I'm like, your landlord has never once talked to me or complained about any noise. If I had known there was an issue, I would have worked on it. But you see, so we had the complaint, we had the handyman, we had the hearse that broke, we had the broken leg. 6 weeks after I broke my leg, Ajax's back went out. I was literally undergoing home physical therapy for my leg and then having to turn around and give Ajax home physical therapy for his back. Okay. I mean, it was expensive, miserable. I had some of my classes that I teach cut with scheduling shifts because I'm only part-time, which is intentional. I'm part-time faculty right now. Florida has been very difficult for me as a lover of the liberal arts. And well, that's a whole different topic. So instead of being full-time with a nice salary, I get basically piecemeal pay by the class. So having classes cut, having all these expenses go out, I mean, it was awful. So I'm looking forward to kind of closing out everything that happened in 2025 and then kind of moving in to January of 2026. Although I have to say, I'm not impressed with this year just yet, but I have an article that I'll read to you all that talks about January as kind of a liminal month. And perhaps maybe it'll make some more sense to all of us. I don't know. This chaos is just continuing and it's exhausting, right? So this letter, this email that I got actually goes back to October. So that's, you know, I need to catch up. And bless her heart, she said I could share it. This is a Shadow Animals report. So 10/19/2025, and I do need to dig up my old Shadow Animals website and add this story to it. So I will be doing that. Greetings. I have seen a few shadow animals, shadow people. The first shadow animal I saw was when I was sleeping in bed and I woke up and saw a large gecko or lizard on the wall next to my bed. The lizard began crawling down the wall towards me in the side-to-side way that lizards move. It got closer and as it did, I climbed out of my bed with my heart racing, trying to keep my eyes on it. I ran to the lights and as I turned to turn them on and looked back, it was gone. It happened so fast. The second animal I saw was a large shadow spider that descended down on me as I was sleeping. I woke up and looked up, and immediately it just descended down rapidly. I screamed and closed my eyes and pulled the covers over me. When I peeked out, it was gone. The last animal I saw, I honestly don't remember what it was. My daughter saw me react to it, but she doesn't remember what I saw. It was out of the corner of my ceiling, and I screamed when I saw it. My daughter was using my computer when it happened. She looked at me and I kind of mumbled, I saw something, and I went back to bed. Now I sleep with the lights on and that keeps them at bay. I don't know if I should ignore them or embrace them. No one else in my family sees them. My mom saw some stuff when she was younger, but no shadow people. I think it started when I watched the movie It with the clown, and that's when I first saw them. I also have seen a ghost as well. All this after watching that movie. I can watch other scary movies, but not It. I won't watch that one. Oh, and I did do some reading about astral projection when I was younger. This was prior to the shadows. I was into things unknown, but I never experienced anything. Never fooled around with the Ouija board. No seances, just astral projection and a few books about it. I started seeing the shadows many years later. Open to suggestions or comments or anything. So I did write back to her. I got her permission to share this and to post it. So that's good. And my general suggestion for her, I believe in the movie It shows up as a giant spider. So again, remember, one of the ironies of ironies is that I do not find horror movies cathartic. I do not enjoy watching them. And so I don't. I know the movie It, I think because I read the book in like 1990, but yeah, it's just not something that I really go with. So, you know, my feeling is I can feel afraid watching the news. I really don't need to scare myself further, even if it's a form of catharsis. But, you know, horror movies are kind of misogynistic, and I don't know. I don't enjoy being afraid. I just don't. So it does show up as a spider, I believe is one of its manifestations. But I don't know. I remember in the 90s when the internet was becoming more popular, having discussions with paranormalists at that time about whether or not the internet could spread ghosts or concepts. Perhaps the movie unlocked something for her. Later on, I did suggest, you know, I was like, well, you know, they're normally not attacking, right? And she said, no, she did not feel attacked, just surprise. So in that case, you know, I would just document it and pay attention to it. Lizards, I have to look into a little bit more lizard lore. I know that there is African mythology dealing with lizards. There's actually a story that's similar to the tortoise and the hare, which dealt with, I believe, a lizard and a, might have been a rabbit. But anyway, I'm not thinking of a lot of highly symbolic things unless we start delving into dragons and leviathans and things along those lines. Spiders, you know, people really get creeped out by them. I don't necessarily blame them, but spiders are symbolic of creation, cleverness. Anansi is a spider god, for example. He's a mischief god, a trickster god, I should say, not mischief, but he can be mischievous. From African ideology, you have grandmother spider in Native American cultures. You have the sacrificial spider in the German spider web story about the Christmas trees, which gave us Christmas tinsel. That's a super hardcore sad story. So, I mean, really, they're creators. They are portrayed, I mean, Charlotte of Charlotte's Web, right? So sympathetically. So anyway, I will be entering that on the Shadow Animals page, hopefully soon. So that is the first thing that I wanted to tell you about. The second thing that I wanted to tell you about actually happened here at home. So I wrote an article about it. It is going out in the January Gabber. And the deal with the Gabber is that I send them my completed draft, my full article. They are welcome to edit and shorten it as they wish. But I am allowed, as long as I tell the you know, post in there published by the Gabber, you know, date, you know, or modified article published from this draft date, you know, volume and all that. So what I have been doing is writing these articles, sending them into the Gabber. They get published once a month. And then I take the drafts, which are typically longer than the newspaper articles, and I put them into what will be my next book. So if you have read my books, volume one is very chaotic because it was written over like 10 years, essentially. And it started off as smaller books that I kept compiling into bigger and bigger pieces, and then putting those pieces together into a single volume. And then it had multiple editors, and just, it was much more chaotic than the current system that I'm working with. And last year was the first year that I did it. This year, I'm even more intentional about it, kind of trying to channel my research and my ideas to kind of prep for Supernatural St. Petersburg and Paranormal Pinellas Volume 3, which hopefully will come out in September of this year. So all of that having been said, because this incident was much more specific to my house rather than a historic property or, you know, like talking about local urban legends, I kind of did a different spin on this piece. So I'll read it to you, then we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, I'll break it down for you a little bit more, and then I will tell you my final bit for our catch-up. All right. So this is the article that will be coming out, I think, next week or the following. This is at least the draft. I will also warn you, the pugs have just settled in to go to sleep. So we're kind of hoping that they stay quiet. But here we go. Here we are in January, moving from the unease of last year into the unknown of this one. Just a few weeks ago, people around the world shared a common thought. We all hold a little bit of hope that the next year will be better and that we can wipe the slate clean to start fresh. To set the tone for the new year, we participate in rituals. We eat grapes for good luck, blow horns to scare away evil spirits, and we open the doors to let the old year out and the new year in. In the South, it is common to eat black-eyed peas and greens to ward off negativity, the eyes of the peas, and to bring in good fortune, which are the greens. The ball drop is another way we designate the start of a new year. In Florida, we've adopted our own unique culture. No snow means we can host big outdoor parties complete with fireworks. Miami drops the big orange. Sarasota drops the pineapple. Panama City does a beach ball drop. And Amelia Island has a shrimp drop. Key West may hold the ribbon as it hosts the lowering of a pirate wench from the ship's mast at the historic seaport and also drop the drag queen shoe. Yes, a giant red illuminated shoe drops at midnight. With all of this, January can be considered a liminal month. That time we let go of the past and adjust to the new present and future. Perhaps it is for that reason that spectral family visitations often happen during the holidays, the joy and festivity, the gatherings, and the special way that time functions as we wrap up one year to start another. This year it happened to me, and I think it was my father who stalked in. He passed away in 2012, and I am his only child. I live next door to my mom, his ex-wife, but also, thankfully, his friend. We were important in his life and also after his death. I believe that he interacted with us in the 6 months after his death as he moved small items, related to conversations that my mom and I were having about him. He has occasionally been picked up by my Spirits of St. Petersburg sensitive teammates visiting my home or at investigations. In December, Dad made a stop. Mom and I were sitting in my house. As we are next door neighbors, Mom often spends her days visiting when I work from home. As I focused on the computer and she watched TV, we were both startled when there were three loud knocks from my back door. This door is inside an enclosed attached garage. The only way to get to the door meant scaling a 6-foot vinyl privacy fence or tugging on a very resistant and very loud wooden rolling privacy gate, the one that I talked about at the beginning of the episode. They would have then had to open a locked garage door to even approach the back door. The knocking was witnessed by my mother and set off my grumble of pugs into a barking frenzy. So there's the paranormal pet part. I made a very trepidatious trek to the back door to see who was there. As I turned the knob, I felt the door pull away from me as if someone was pulling the door as I pushed. But when the door fully opened, there was no one there. The primary reason that I think it was my father is that in my mind's eye, I caught a glimpse of a blue and black shirt that he wore the last time he was here at my doctoral graduation in 2010, and the image of his trademark smirk. This is strange to me, as I am not prone to getting spirit messages, and I am not particularly sensitive to this aspect of the supernatural. From my vantage at the top of the steps, I could see the entire garage in front of me. There was nothing out of place. My Miata top was down, allowing me to see that both seats were empty. The car is also too low to hide under. It's a one-story house with no attic access in the garage. The only area not directly in view behind the door hosts my water heater, upon which a person would have to be standing to avoid getting hit by the door. I spent the next 30 minutes carefully looking around, but the event remains an enigma. One lingering thought haunts me. The three knocks when no one is there is an omen. This belief originates from Irish, Scottish, and American tales. It is linked to stories such as the Tennessee Bell Witch manifestation and numerous personal family stories. It can mean one of three things: an omen of death, I hope not, a demonic presence, I don't think so, or a way for a ghost to make its presence known. Sometimes the spirit warns that a significant event will happen in 3 days, 3 weeks, or 3 months. 3 days and 3 weeks have passed, but I plan to remain vigilant until the end of the 3 months. Believe it or not, family ghost stories like this are the most frequent type of story that people tell me about. So, as we prepare
to move further into the year, I'm curious to know if anyone else has had a spectral family member come for a visit. If you did, who was it? How do you know it was them? What do you think they were there? And then please send your stories to me. I'll tell you a little bit more about that after we come back from these messages.
Now, time for something really scary. A word from our sponsors. Paranormal pets will reappear before you can say Bigfoot. Don't run away.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem. But the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell she was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's carnivora.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Did you hear that? Our commercials have mysteriously disappeared. Paranormal Pets is back with our haunted host, our ghost host,
Brandi Stark.
All right, and welcome back to Paranormal Pets. So, the three knocks. You have to understand, even though the article is written as it is, I mean, I got to keep it a little bit upbeat. I was terrified because I know lore and legends. And one sign of impending doom or the passing of someone within a household is the three knocks. And when you answer the door, there's nobody there. Maybe it was Dad just saying he was here. But this whole thing was so strange. And I would question myself more, except that all of the pugs responded to hearing the knocks on the door. And again, this is a door that's inside of a garage with the garage door down, the side door locked. If you try to open the outside door, it is incredibly noisy, difficult to do. You know, when it's down, at that point, it was actually still on manual because my garage door broke because, yes, 2025. So it was right before I had it repaired. I was definitely freaked out because I worked very, very hard to keep my house safe. I got these pugs, I got my mom, and I am not used to this sort of thing. Now, when I do my space cleansings and my energy cleansings, which again, primarily consist of meditation, saging, white light meditations, that type of thing. I mean, just keeping the energy on the up and up. You know, I'm not doing lots of hoodoo or anything else. Just, you know, I think it's important to have a psychological reinforcement, right, of kind of the sanctity and safety of the household. He's very proud. He loves you. You know, he's there to support me, which is really wild because I get along better with him. I understand him better, I should say, now that he's passed away. He is the one that I get my oddness from. I'm lucky I also get my temperament from him. I get my mother's drive and her mind. I get my own way of thinking, but kind of the more liberal arts interests. But Dad was always really strange to me in the sense that he's a civil engineer and he could have a very dry sense of humor and I never quite knew how to take it. You know, he lived in Missouri. I grew up in Florida. He came down with cancer in 2011 and passed by April of 2012. I think I've talked about this before, but I actually do have an entry on the Spirits of St. Petersburg page detailing his visitation, which in the 6 months after he died, the first thing was that I had inherited his Saturn, and it was a four-door gray sedan. Oh, my God. Blah. I'm an artist. My cars are a hearse and a Miata. mean, that's what I drive.
A gray sedan.
And this was right when Saturn was having a massive recall. And I couldn't find the recall part. And so I was afraid to drive the car. And it was the only car that had air conditioning in Florida because my Miata's AC had gone out. I drove her with the top down. But let me tell you, I would arrive places just drenched in sweat because it gets so hot here in the summer.
And so I was confessing to Mom on the phone because GM had sent a letter after my months of my trying to get this thing fixed. I'm like, can you believe they sent me this letter, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like confessing to her on the phone. She was still at work at this point. And I set the letter down on the counter and I heard this little thump behind me and I turned around and lo and behold, there was a Monopoly car on the letter in the middle of it. I had to go out to the garage to find the Monopoly game, which was under boxes and sealed shut with humidity. This was a 40-year-old game. When I managed to pry it open, the Monopoly car was gone. I have no explanation for it. I had not played the game. It had not been in the house. It was in the garage under stuff. There was nothing up above this letter. It was a kitchen countertop. I live here alone. I remember my mom saying, are you sure you're alone in the house? And I'm like, everything is locked. It's just me. Let's suppose our thumbs. Another time, very conservative, Midwestern conservative, atheistic or agnostic, engineering. You know, my mother ended up with a major in psychology. She minored in religion. Imagine that. Much more liberal, you know, he liked cats, she preferred canines. I compromised with pugs, who are cat, dog, and human mixed together. But I was talking about, you know, I discovered something we all have in common. My dad used to like The Shadow, the radio show. And I was in a huge Pulp Fiction craze at that point. And I was reading the original 1930s Shadows. They had done a series of reprints. I love these. I mean, they're very relaxing in the sense that they're very formulaic. Plus, for the 1930s, the Shadow was a rather unusual character because he was helping the cotton man get this really convoluted history. He had an African-American man, Jericho, who actually was one of his agents. So he was working with people that would have been very marginalized at the time. And again, yeah, there's some of that 1930s feel to the characters, but at the same time, at that time, it would have been progressive. And as I was talking about The Shadow, and then I said, and then you love Perry Mason, which, believe it or not, started off as a series of Pulp Fictions, and she has them. I've read some of them. They're pretty good. And as I was talking, and again, you're not allowed to judge, but one of, I had an action figure from the 1994 Shadow movie with Alec Baldwin, and it was sitting on my shelf next to these reprints of the Pulp Fictions, and it actually, like, leapt off the shelf. I don't know how else to explain it. It's like somebody kind of picked up and tossed it. And I'm just sitting down, Mom and I are sitting down. This is a one-story house. It had never fallen before. It's never fallen since. There were no cars. There was no traffic. There was nothing that done to it. I mean, and no explanation. And the timing was with that conversation. The third and last time that he showed up, I had come home from grocery shopping. I was starting to unload groceries and I heard this scraping sound down the back of my refrigerator. And I'm like, what the heck? And I saw at the very bottom under the vegetable crisper, a coin. And I'm like, okay, well, that's interesting. Now, I don't know why Dad would do it this way, but whatever. So I fished out the coin and it turns out it was a Sacagawea silver dollar. And Dad and I are descended from Meriwether Lewis of the Lewis and Clark expedition who would have traversed the, you know, United States. I really felt like that was his way of saying be proud.
So, yeah, my dad also, some of the things that I do, I think I got from him, like he would sit down and read encyclopedias. And when I used to read mythology dictionaries and encyclopedias just cover to cover. I loved that. Lore and legends and superstitious dictionaries, just all of it. So my question was if he would have known about the three knocks or not, if he would have known that it was an omen. And I still don't know for sure, but I will tell you that the very next day, my mother started acting very erratically. She is older. She does, as I mentioned, she's got some health things going on. And she scared the life out of me because she's never done this before. But I ended up taking her to the doctor that day. And they're like, well, she has a UTI. And if you're not aware, older folks with UTIs, it really will knock them for a loop. So they gave her an antibiotic. Literally the next day, she was back to normal. I actually made a video counting everything that had happened. I said it to the spirits members in that 30 minutes where I was going through the barrage. They were asking me questions. Is there anybody in the trunk of the car? You'd have to be a child, but I could open it up and show them, like through video, nobody in the trunk. Attic access? Nope. Anywhere to hide? This is my garage. I can see the whole thing. Here's the hot water heater. Nowhere to hide. You know, what did the knock sound like? Could it possibly have been from outside? So I'm like knocking on the walls of the garage trying to replicate this. Nope. It was very distinctly on the back door and Mom was here. And so I did ask her some questions. I'm like, Mom, were you here? And she's like, yep. Did you hear the knocks? Yes, I did. Did the pugs respond? Yes. Did you see me go up the garage? Yes. Did you see me open the door? Yes. And I said, did you see anyone there? And she was here. That makes you feel at least a little less crazy. The only other thing that's so bizarre is that just a couple minutes after the incident, I started to video document everything because I'm a good paranormalist. That's what you do. You never get it on actual film. I'm like, great. But I actually said, I'm going to go open the door. And I did. And it did not pull away from me. That door, it's got kind of squeaky hinges. It was wild. It did not do it. And this was such a distinct feeling of kind of like when somebody pulls on the doorknob while you're pushing. You know, you both grab a hold of that door at the same time. It was wild. So subsequently, we have been dealing with some additional health issues for Mom, one of which hit at 3 weeks. We are still kind of dealing with those health issues right now, but literally earlier today, we came back from a doctor's appointment, and I am pleased to say that it appears that this issue hopefully has not spread or gotten worse, that it seems to be pretty contained to one area, that there are some options for it. And I don't know. As I said, we first got the heads up about this medical issue literally 3 weeks after the knock. So the knock, the next day, Mom had her kind of this episode. 3 weeks later, a doctor was examining her because she's been having some issues. And he's like, uh-oh. Okay. So that was the first, and it was nothing I was expecting, honestly. So I was like, wait, what? I thought this was something that had healed up and it was crazy. And so we've not hit that 3 month mark. But literally when I opened the door, the pugs wouldn't go out at first, but just like a minute afterwards, Neo went out. He seemed to be okay and came back in. I don't know. But the last thing, because good Lord, this is getting long, that I have to tell you is a little bit about. So in August, a spirits member and I went to the Tabernacle of Oddities, where last year I got a haunted doll. This year, when I was looking around, I was like, hey, what do you have that's kind of interesting and maybe haunted? We went through the whole thing, did not find a lot until the very, very end. And this one gentleman had a tombstone. And on the tombstone, it said, Buttercat, my friend, Dorothy Thompson, 1983. And the gentleman said, oh, yeah, this is linked up to a woman who owned a pet cemetery, Dorothea Thompson. She owned the actual pet cemetery. The tombstone apparently was stolen from the pet cemetery. And I'm like, well, that's not good. But he's like, yeah. And Dorothy was murdered in 1985. And apparently she had like two ex-husbands who kind of died suspiciously. One of them was alleged to have had $500,000 hidden on the property that she lived on. There were mob connections. I mean, this whole thing. And I was like, okay, that's interesting. And then he knocked the price down for me considerably because nobody else wanted a tombstone. And I'm like, okay. And because of paranormal pets, I thought, well, I'll get this tombstone because I can at least give it a good home and keep it safe. And I can use it as maybe a teaching element, right? People love their pets well enough to put them in a pet cemetery with a tombstone, right? I mean, it happens. Well, last night, moving into 2026, I have a Roku and I've been watching like all the free stuff. And, you know, like most middle-aged white ladies, I like to watch the crime shows. And they had something called Hours to Kill. And so it's kind of like a show like The First 48, but it talks about how detectives construct the last 24 hours before a person is murdered to help solve a case, you know? And so we're up to like episode 13, and all of a sudden it pops up and it's Pet Sematary. And I'm like, oh, Louisiana. And I'm like, huh. And then they said the name. And I'm like, no, that can't be the same. It was. It was. It was an entire episode about this woman whose cemetery tombstone I now have,
which is really creepy. Was not expecting that.
It turns out that her house was known as being haunted. It was like the haunted area because she had this extensive pet cemetery around her house. People would pay to bury their pets there. It was a very valuable property. As I mentioned, her second husband had allegedly stolen $500,000 from gambling or something from the mob, something weird like that. He died under, you know, weird circumstances. And he was supposed to have hidden it on the property. Or Dorothy would hire people who were kind of down on their luck to help her maintain the cemetery. And apparently, with all of the rumors that were going around, some of these folks would actually, like, particularly the one guy who did kill her, would literally dig up the pet graves looking for this $500,000 that was supposed to be hidden, this hidden treasure. Well, the episode started off by describing Louisiana, a little bit beyond Baton Rouge, in this small town of 2,000 people. They found a woman's body in a river covered with 200 pounds of chains, wrapped in 200 pounds of chains, wrapped over a plastic bag. She was only wearing a nightshirt, and she had been left in this river. And they constructed what had happened. One of the detectives actually knew about her location and remembered it. And apparently she was known for being a really nice woman, kind of strange, kind of reclusive, but, you know, she meant well. And the death was, you know, I think she died of strangulation. It was, you know, the whole beginning of the episode with finding her body weighted down in 200 pounds worth of chains already had me going, wait, what? But it turns out that it took them something like 17 years to solve this case. So it was a cold case for a long time, almost 20 years, I'm going to say. It turns out that she had one good lady friend who helped drive her around. And then she had this one groundskeeper. And the groundskeeper was kind of shady. And I guess he was trying to get Dorothy to sign the property over to him because she had no heirs. He was one of the ones looking for the money. And it turns out he was the one who killed her. And what gets to be even stranger is that after he killed her, he got one of his buddies to help him dispose of the body. And he swore this guy to secrecy. And the man only came forward when the cold case detective started reinvestigating and reopening the case. And he came to in part because he said that he, and that this is a quote from the detective, that he had a premonition. I don't think it was a premonition. I think he had a dream or a manifestation, or the ghost showed up of this woman wrapped in chains. So that would be Dorothy, demanding justice. And so after all of that time had elapsed, he went to the police and he said, well, I didn't kill her, but I helped to get rid of the body. And so because he came forward, her killer was caught. But let me tell you, that was a weird series of coincidences for me so far. The fact that this dealer, I guess, had lived in Louisiana, he himself had visited the property. He had this tombstone, this granite tombstone from the cemetery. So I'm assuming that with the vandalism, I guess teenagers would go and look for the treasure. And then you had these kind of groundskeepers and vagrants who were kind of there messing things up. That somewhere along the line, this tombstone, which belonged to her and that she dedicated to her beloved Buttercat, who died in 1983. She died only 2 years later. But this ended up at an oddities market in Ybor in a haunted building. So it was held at the Cuban Club, was purchased by a paranormal investigator. It currently rides around in my hearse until, and I am still looking for a building to get my own permanent paranormal museum. I have not found one yet. Prices here in St. Pete are just insane. But only to have me like going down the list of shows, looking for something to watch and watching kind of these mediocre, lesser known true crime shows. I had never heard of Hours to Kill before I saw it on Roku. And I was really, because some of the episodes I'm kind of familiar with because I've watched Cold Cases and other things like that. But I was really shocked when this one popped up and I was like, oh my God, So her property was known for being haunted. She had all of this connection to mysterious deaths. She herself was mysteriously killed, and she showed up as a ghost demanding justice. I mean, it's all perfect. I don't know what I'm going to do with the stone just yet. As I said, I would like to get a paranormal museum, a permanent location, so that I could display it, you know, and talk about this story and such an odd series of coincidences that got this to me. And then the Otter real life episode about this actual murder. It was really, really wild. Okay. I have been talking for 45 minutes. So we're going to pause. We will insert some quick messages, and then I will wrap this up with upcoming events. We'll be right back.
We wear fur, and we're damn proud of it.
What?
And our four legs.
And our tail.
And we go to the bathroom outside. Well, we may not be too proud of that. Sniff around, then mark your spot right here. Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Oh, so if you're still hanging out with me for this episode, let me just give you the last little skinny on what's going on. We are preparing for Valentween 2026, The Dark Siren Ape. I am working on kicking off my walking ghost tours, which are called St. Peter's Boo and are interactive. We have like 5 different interactive locations to use different equipment. And of course, it's very much focused on haunted history of St. Petersburg. We will be doing a Rosa Park ghost tour. We will be doing a haunted history trolley tour. We will have an art show. The art show this year will have a body painter, a fairy hair person. We are going to have the Krampus crew from Pinellas Park. Yes, we have our own Krampus grouping. That's a little more crypto, perhaps, but if you're not familiar with Krampus, he is the dark side of Santa Claus. He is the one who punishes bad children. I taught about him like 25 years ago before he really came into vogue. He's kind of taken on some pop cultural relevance in the past, I would say 10 years. But man, when I first taught about him, students were like, there's a devil Santa Claus? I'm like, yes, and it's Krampus. It's really cool. But you know, what does Krampus do after December 5th and his holiday, you know, Krampusnacht is over? Well, you know, if you don't have a date when you come to Valentween, we've got a Krampus for you, you know, so it'll be a photo op. We'll have the belly dancers. We have an oracle tarot bone reader, bone toss reader. I will be doing a talk for Eckerd College on supernatural romance and the origins of Valentween on January 29th. Valentween, the show is hung. Hopefully around February 1st, we will have a jewelry metaphysical workshop on crystals and a discussion on jewelry and a make and take on the 7th. The 11th is the trolley tour. Friday the 13th happens this year, February, Friday the 13th. So if you're in town and you want to take a haunted ghost tour, there is actually a discount code that gets you $13.13 off per ticket. So it makes the tickets like $11.87 or something like that. We take 13 people as a maximum. We have a Valentween opening on February 14th to some really, really stiff competition. Part of the 2025 experience was actually, believe it or not, getting attacked by my colleagues at my art studio that my shows just weren't good enough because they are open to artists of all levels. They are designed to be a mixed show. And I just got completely lampooned. I mean, it was so bad. You have no idea how much that crushed my very soul and spirit. I was devastated. It was a small group of people. The majority said, yes, host the show. But it really put quite a damper on it for me because I get no help with it. I'm the one who puts it together. I pay for it myself. I get the artists. I get the entertainment. I turn it into the event. I advertise it. I don't get a lot of help from my colleagues there. Some, yes, but for the most part, I'm hanging the show alone. And so you just have no idea. It was a really, really devastating year last year. It's part of the reason that I would also like to find my own space so I can host my own eclectic art shows and not have to answer to anyone. So again, part of that agenda. But the 21st is the Rosa Park tour. We might have a closing reception on the 28th. But come on out, please. Please support local. If you're in St. Pete, I would really appreciate it. All of this having been said, and now that I have talked for the song, I guess I better pause. We will see if our beloved director wants to keep this as one episode or divide it into two. It is definitely his purview. If you happen to be around, by the way, on the 26th of January, the Spirits of St. Petersburg will be hosting trivia at the Dog Bar. So if you're around in St. Pete and this episode's out, you can come and meet most likely Patroclus, who will be 15 years old in March, my retired paranormal pug. But hopefully I'll see y'all out and about. I hope your 2026 is going well. If it's not, just hang tight because, again, January is a liminal month. We are still feeling our way out. 2025 was devastating for many of us. 2026, my hunch is going to be a transitory year to something new, hopefully in 27 to 28. But keep your chin up. Don't let them get you down. And I'll catch you the next episode, which will actually have guests. Take care.
Pet Life Radio presents Paranormal Pets, where you can always expect the unexpected. Each week, we'll discuss all aspects of weird or spiritual animal encounters, ghosts, totems, psychic animals, animal souls, animal angels, and animals in religion, with a little cryptozoology thrown in. Step into the supernatural world of pets every week only on PetLifeRadio.com.